You could hear? Okay. Okay, community prayer meeting tonight here at 6 p.m. All churches in the area are invited, so come pray with the larger body of Christ. I was at the community prayer meeting with Kate and others on the usual Friday night one, and I got there, and I was so proud of myself because I was on time. That's kind of unusual. But the cars, the parking lot at Dan Kenyon's church had so many cars in it, I immediately looked at the gym to see if it was lit up like they had a kids thing going on. No, but everybody was there to pray. It was amazing. And Kate said they had 19 people last week. I think we were close to that this week. But people are excited. People are anticipating. God is moving. And this prayer meeting tonight, the Arise thing that we had here, they're going to have one in Penn York one night in November. And Carl Hoyer says there's pastors from Pennsylvania that are going to be here tonight that are really excited about what God's doing. So come join us. Operation Christmas Child is in full swing. Fill your boxes and change a child's life. Anybody who's seen the videos knows that that is very true. We will be collecting boxes for the next 3 weeks to send throughout the world. Men's Bible study is meeting Monday evening from 6 to 8. All men are welcome. We are studying the book of Romans. And my husband, he goes, and he wasn't there last week because, yes, you were. We came home from vacation. But there's, you know, anywhere from 8 to 11 guys at, and I think that's wonderful. And then, of course, Wednesday evening prayer meeting here. We wanted to pray for people. Most of you probably know that Karen Kopp has COVID pneumonia, and she's recovering at home with her wonderful sister who dropped everything and traveled 2.5 hours to come home and be with Karen. They've asked specifically for prayer that her oxygen levels would go up. She's on oxygen. And just a little quick one, her sister would like a baby monitor so she could sleep in a real bed. It's not the opposite end of Karen's room. If anybody has one, otherwise she will buy one. Kathy Chafee is recovering from COVID, and in faith believing, I pray Pastor Dave's prayer that it will be quick. That it will be quick because she's been recovering for a bit, but that season would come to an end. Our brother Carl had successful surgery, but he's got a road ahead of him to recover. He had surgery in his neck. And some of you know Dick and Sue Peck. Years ago they went here, but Dick sells cars in the other end of town. They are both in the hospital with COVID, so I'd like to pray for them too. And our sister Luann got an earache. We haven't seen her in a long time because she went away, and on her way home from visiting relatives out of state, she got an earache, and she's just got congestion. She just doesn't seem to be getting better. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, you see all these requests. You see all of these people, Lord God, and we pray that they would know that you see them. Even as you appeared to Hagar, and she was ready to give up and to die, you spoke to her, and you let her know, I see you. I see you where you're at, and I have answers for you. And let each and every one of these people we're praying for know that you see them, Lord God, and that you love them, Lord. We pray that Luann would come out, that she would be recovering from this, Lord God, and even be able to join us again next Sunday for church. We pray for Kathy Chafee. Father, I pray for divine healing in her body. Father, she was a high-risk person to get COVID because she has lots of physical problems and has allergies to most pharmaceuticals, Lord. But, Father, we thank you. We thank you that she is on the other end. She lives, Lord God. And we just would pray that you would do a mighty work of healing in Kathy's body, soul, and spirit. For our sister Karen, Lord, God, when you're really sick and you don't feel good, no matter what you listen to or what you pray, after a while you're just worn out. And we pray for encouragement for Karen. I thank you for her sweet sister, Lisa. Father, give her wisdom and grace, and let this Let Karen be able to look back at this and say, what a mighty God we serve. Father, we pray that you would visit all of these people we're praying for with healing in your wings, Lord God. Your word is very, very clear, and it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Oh God, you are able. Apply the work in Calvary in each and every one of these physical situations, we pray. For our friends Dick and Sue Peck, Father, God, get them out of that hospital. God, and do divine recovery in their lives, Lord God. And finally, for our precious brother Carl, Lord God, sometimes if I sat up front with my girls one day because my husband wasn't here, and all of a sudden I heard clapping during a slow song, and I was like, yay, Carl's here. Father, we miss our brother, and I just get chills to think of the amazing things you're doing in his life. Father, for the healing of his lower back, Father, we just would pray that you would do the same thing through the doctor's hands with a little bit of a whole lot of your power, Father. Help him to be well and healed, Lord God. Give him grace during this time that he's home. Father, we pray for Lori and the girls. Draw them, Lord. Draw them and give Carl wisdom on how to love them well. In Jesus' name, amen. I talk a lot, but I think it's okay if I pray a lot too, okay, right?
All right. I'm not here to preach, so don't be afraid. Last week, I shared about, as God is changing things in the spirit, we're seeing things in the natural. And I was just so excited to see this opportunity. In fact, it was an article in the Wellsville Sun a week or two ago for Wellsville. When opportunity knocks, answer the door. And so it's about this thing called a downtown revitalization initiative. I went to the meeting that was on Wednesday, and then I said, Carol asked, could I share something? I thought, well, what am I going to share? And look at that. They just put an article in the Wellsville Sun this morning. So give me about 3 minutes. I'd like to read some of this. It says, the first meeting took place at the library on Wednesday evening, the 20th. Some of the people that were there included the mayor, Chamber of Commerce Director Bruce Thomas, some local business owners, a lot of you know Mike Raptus, Dr. and Mrs. Felsen, and it turned out that event, they said, drew a bigger crowd than any public meeting in recent memory. How about that? And it says, the opportunity is, on paper, one of the most intriguing economic stimulus opportunities to come from the state of New York in a long time. And it's it says it's in a $10 million incentive plan. And it's kind of ambiguous, which makes, they say, that's what makes it intriguing. The plan has, right now, not a lot of concrete requirements, except asking inventors and entrepreneurs to dream big. And just kind of a calendar that I got out of the meeting is they're taking ideas and will be developing them between now and like next September when they have to be up for approval through this state agency. And they say, don't think grants for food trucks. Think about million-dollar startups. Or public access projects. Think about, I love this word, transformative. What have we been praying about? Transformation, right? Mike Raptus explained, during the meeting, dreaming big wasn't hard for the crowd. One of them talked about how we should consider investments in our medical infrastructure through Jones. A couple who had just recently moved into Wellsville thought, we should consider the future of the railroad. Somebody said, how long has the railroad been here? It was built in 1856. Alfred University is selected to act as the facilitator for those interested in accessing this project. And so it says the college will not be making the decisions, but their role is to help investors and communities capitalize on the program. The next step is to brainstorm and dream out loud. The nature is to pursue projects that normally would be economically unrealistic. So, they say, think big. It says it's a matching funds grant providing anybody who applies 25% of the project cost. So should we manage to come up with enough projects, Wellsville would be involved in like $40 million in projects. And just a little bit more about it. They say what the projects have to have, a clear benefit to the community. They're looking for development, new businesses, could be housing, could be cultural enhancements. And they just say, if you didn't attend the first meeting, this is going to be an ongoing thing. Come to the next. If you or know anybody that's got some real dreams, want to learn more about it, that's why I went. I just wanted to see what it's all about. The next meeting is Wednesday evening, November 17th at the Howe Library. And I guess I could be like a point person here at the church. I've asked for, they did a whole slide presentation, and I expect to get that in my email sometime this week. So maybe I can help answer questions or at least direct it to the right people that are kind of helping to spearhead the project here. So it just seemed like great news and just an answer to prayer about just transforming the whole mindset of our area, which we've been praying about for like decades. So, amen to that.
Pray for God's good ideas. Yes. Amen. So why are we sharing about spending money on Main Street in Wellsville? Why are we talking about let's have some new projects? How does that have anything to do with the kingdom of God? Why would we be excited or interested in that? Because we're praying for a transformation of our region out of depression, out of poverty, out of hopelessness, and out of real, just recession, a deep-seated thing where it's just been heavy on our region forever. And when you begin to see it in the natural, you know you're going to see it in the spiritual. God is at work. And so we want to be part of what God is doing in all of that. And why shouldn't the church speak into that as well as the community and the other people? So I'm going to ask you to pray. God could give you a really, wow, I am really ringing. I'm up a little, thanks. God could give you a really cool idea that would impact people for Christ. It could happen. Yes, Shelby. Oh, I thought you were raising. Oh. Yes. If you have ideas, go talk to Brother Ed, and we want to be part of that. Just in case you didn't notice, there's some literature out in the back. I got a quantity of these. I noticed as soon as I mentioned it before, all of the ones I had immediately disappeared. My Heart, Christ's Home. I love this little book. It is the neatest little allegory of Christ, of Jesus walking through all of the rooms in your house and seeing everything in every drawer and every closet. And, you know, it sounds pretty ominous, but it's really quite a blessing. And if you haven't got one of those, there's a bunch of those out on the back table. I encourage you, take it and read it and let the Lord speak to you. We have, I also mentioned to Shay, I said, you know, I'd like some new updated nice tract to give to people, because I like to give people things that preach the gospel. And she got a bunch of stuff. One of them is this, and it's my favorite. It's $1 million. I remember being on Main Street in Wellsville, and I was doing balloon sculptures with kids out there. They were having an outreach, and you know, I was giving them their little things, and people would walk away, and I'd say, wait, you forgot your $1 million. And everybody was so excited to get their $1 million bill. You know, so it's kind of fun to give somebody, just tell them you want to give them $1 million. Hey, what's on the other side is way better than $1 million. We have this great track called You'll Get Through This. You think people need to hear that? Oh, marvelous message. Meet my friend, and who is Jesus? I encourage you to take these, and even if you don't have somebody to hand them right to, leave it somewhere. You know, I never thought that on my door in college, I had a little, I cut a manila envelope off and taped it to my door, and I used to stick tracts in my in the pocket. In my dorm room, and I just never thought anything. And I put a few more in there once in a while, and then we got a letter from your wife got a letter from this guy that said, "Oh yeah, I used to take those tracks all the time, and I'd be really disappointed when there weren't more." And now I'm part of a worldwide evangelistic outreach that's reached all these thousands of people, and I'm like, and this guy, he wasn't saved at the time, but he was taking tracks. And he knew Randy. I think Randy spoke into his life, and it was just the neatest thing. So do not discount what God can do through, cast your bread upon the waters, the scripture says. Go ahead.
Much support as a Christian, and I was working as a
still not a
I was working as a waitress, and everything was okay, but you know, it just wears on you sometimes, you know, life. So anyway, I saw these people at one of my booths, and I thought, just the way they were acting, I don't know, it was just something different about them. And I thought, I wonder if they're Christians. And they never said anything to me, but when they left a tract there. And, you know, I was already a Christian, but I was so encouraged. Oh, it's on now. I was so encouraged to see that someone had reached out to me, even though, like, in a sense, like, I didn't need to be saved. I was saved, but I needed the encouragement. And it was really neat. I felt supported, even though, you know, they didn't say a word to me. So it was pretty cool.
Amen. Sister Denise, come on up. Denise has been telling me she has a testimony for a while, and I'm ready.
And Pastor Dave said, well, why don't you do the prayer this morning, then you can do your testimony. And then I forgot. I was just saying to my husband, did they do the offering yet? And then I went, oh, my testimony. This happened the day of Pastor Mason's funeral. My daughter Jill, who is going to be 43, and one of her friends that had gotten to know Anna Sorensen through Jill and gotten close with Anna, came home from New Jersey for the funeral, and they were heading back right afterwards because one of them had to work and just had a lot going on. And they ran home, made quick sandwiches, and Jill suddenly, like, kind of running around looking, she goes, ran out to her car, came back, and she goes, something tells me I might have left my wallet on the top of the car at Shorts when I got gas. And, you know, the mother in me, and the Lord shied at me right away because I do stupid stuff like that all the time. The mother in me is thinking, who does that? Your wallet, you know, like. But anyhow, so she immediately jumped in the car, ran to Shorts. It wasn't there. It went inside. They hadn't seen it. Came home, and she's acting real low-key, like, what are you going to do? Her biggest worry wasn't even her credit cards. Her worry was standing in line at the DMV to get a new license, but all that stuff. all that stuff. And so they left, and I felt so bad for her. And I jumped on my bike, and I said, well, I'm going to go on my bike. I'll go slower, and I could see the side of the road better. And came home, nothing. On my way home, I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Because let's face it, God is working on stuff in all of our lives. I just said, okay, Lord, you can use that to work on Jill and her life. And then I get home, and boom.
Okay. So that morning, I had a few errands to run, and one happened to be going to the eye doctor's to pick up some new lenses. And I thought I could get it in time before I came up here for Pastor Mason's service. And I ran out of time, and I said, I'll just do it after church or after his service. So I get to the eye doctor's, and this woman was picking out frames, and I was just there to pick up frames. And we just struck up a conversation, and she got called in to get, you know, her glasses and all that. And then I got called in right after her. So we were continuing a conversation, just a pleasant, friendly conversation. And she said, we were coming into town earlier, and I feel so bad. This woman lost her wallet. And I said, she said, you know that that gas station right when you're coming into town? And I said, sure. And she said, yeah. She goes, it was on the side of the road, and something had caught my eye. And so they pulled over, and she picked it up, and this woman was from New Jersey. And I said, oh, my goodness, it would happen to be Jill Regan, would it? And she said, yes. And I said, I know them. I know her. Oh, my goodness. So, and she trusted me. I mean, I tried to look her up on Facebook. I said, well, I look at, and I even called. I tried Jill. I tried Denise. Nobody was answering, but she felt comfortable enough to say, you know, obviously you know this woman, and you'll make sure to get it to her. And I got her name, and she actually waited out in the parking lot until I was finished with my business. And she said, did you get a hold of him yet? And I said, I haven't, but, you know, I will keep trying. And I said to her, I said, this was all God. I was supposed to come this morning to the eye doctor's, but, you know, we're meeting now. And I said, are you a believer? And she said, yes, ma'am. And I hugged her, and I said, that's from Jill. So praise God.
And then, yes. And then I had just pulled in on my bicycle with that feeling like, okay, God, sometimes when you're working, it's really hard, and use this for your glory. When I turn around and there's a strange car in the driveway, the second Dan Cook opened the door, I thought, oh my gosh, this might have to do with the wallet. And sure enough, and I said to my husband, quick, call Jill, because she had left and I wasn't sure how far away she was, if she wanted to come back. And he did, and I started talking, and then I just handed the phone to Beth to let Beth tell the same story she just told you. It was a witness to me. God did this, I remember this specifically one other time. Denise, yes, I use everything, but the stuff I use isn't always hard. Sometimes it's just good and exciting and fun. So I just thank the Lord, and just all the little things. That a nice person found the wallet and all that he did to put that together. So finally got my testimony in, Pastor Dave. Oh, there he is. Don't forget the offering.
Yes, amen. Yeah, don't forget the offering. We're not used to doing it like that. Dakota, if you would come. Brother Ed, would you mind helping with offering this morning? Father, we thank you for the blessing that we have heard of your faithfulness, Lord, even with something like a wallet and a license, Lord. Father, we want to put our hope and our trust in you. So, Lord, when we give of our finances today, we're giving in faith, believing that what we give, you will multiply and use to reach lots of people in our region. We thank you for the opportunity to invest in your kingdom. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I guess I'm not going to do that. Amen. Well, we've been looking at... Oh, you're leaving. Okay, well, it was much later in my message, so...
I could probably come out. Let's send someone down.
Okay. All right. We've been sharing on spiritual gifts, and I want to encourage you that as we teach on power, if we just taught only on power and the power of the Holy Spirit, it could lead to a very shallow Christian experience. It really could. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm only a ringing gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge and have absolute faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and exult in the surrender of my body, the King James says, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And we know that love is that first primary fruit of the Spirit. And some scholars say that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and all those other things, joy, peace, are facets of that fruit. But power without the rest is a very shallow experience. But teaching that excludes power is also leads to a very, very shallow Christian experience, because we're leaving a big chunk out of that. Romans 15, Adam. I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem and all the way around Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And this has to move. And all the people on this side of the room said, yay. Okay, Tom Brazell is usually here and moves that. He runs up in the middle and gets it out of the way, and he's preaching somewhere else today. The power of the Spirit is a big deal. We need in this day, we need the full gospel. We need the power, we need the gifts, we need the character, we need the scripture, we need the repentance, we need the growth, we need the faith, we need the discipleship. God help us, we need the full gospel. If you have your Bible today, I don't have this one up for you to look at on the screen, but I'd like to look in John chapter 6, and we're going to just do a quick running cruise of this. We're not going to spend an awful lot of time there. But John chapter 6 is a very interesting chapter. And in verses 1 through 15, we see that a great multitude was following him. Huge crowd was coming, and it says it because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. They saw all these things happening, and Jesus saw them, and he looked at his disciples and said, well, we've got to feed all these people, all these hungry people. There's thousands and thousands of them. And of course his disciples said, how are we going to do that? And of course, the story, if you look down in verse 9, it says, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. A little bit. Just a little bit. Jesus said, make the people sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Notice it says, sorry ladies, it says the men sat down. I think the ladies sat down too, but in that day, they didn't count the ladies. I'm sorry. There was probably a lot more than 5,000 people there, because there were probably women and children there as well. So when they say that Jesus fed the 5,000, it could have been 6, 7, 8,000. I don't know how many people were there for sure. And miraculously, Jesus distributes to them, and in verse 13 it says, Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. 12 baskets from of leftovers from 5 barley loaves. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who's come into the world." Then they head out, and Jesus walks on the sea to them. And then we come to verses 16 through 21. Jesus walks on the water. He tells them not to be afraid, and they end up at the land where they were headed. But then in verse 22, on the next day, all the people who were standing on the other side saw that Jesus had taken off. He was gone. Boom, he'd gone across. So what do? They all get boats. They all jump on and head over. Verse 24, they all got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And what does Jesus say to them? He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." You just want more food. You want to eat more bread. That's the only reason you followed me over here. And they completely did not understand what Jesus was trying to say to them. Then Jesus goes on and said, "Don't labor for food that perishes, but labor for that which doesn't perish, the bread that I can give you." In verse down in verse 32, and I said I'm just kind of skipping through this because I have more I want to look at, but Jesus said in verse 32, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said, "Hey, give us that." And he said, "Oh, that's me. That's me." And they're like, "We know who you are. We know your mother and your father. What do you mean you came down from heaven?" And then Jesus goes on to say, the bread is my flesh that I'm going to give to the world. And they say, "How can you give us your flesh?" They completely did not get the whole idea. Jesus had just given them a picture of how he fed them miraculously out of nothing. But then he's saying, come deeper. Come into the Spirit with me. Come see what I'm trying to teach you. There's more. And the people were like, "Whoa, this is freaky. We don't want this." And if you, that's kind of the whole thing in a capsule. I encourage you to read John 6. I don't want to do disjustice to the scripture. But if you look down in verse 59, it said, "These things Jesus said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' And they become offended." And then in verse, whoops. 66, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Left. Why? Because they were really excited about the miracle, about the bread, about the signs, but they didn't want any part of this whole follow me, partake of me, come deeper, come find out what I'm saying in the Spirit. I am the bread of life. They're like, "No, we don't want that." And what Jesus wanted to do was to call them deeper into the Spirit. So as we look into spiritual gifts, remember that the spiritual gifts are a dimension of the Spirit, but God wants to bring us into a deeper spiritual sense so that we're not just looking for the sign, for the person to get healed. We're not running after the next glorious liver shiver of the Spirit, but we're looking to see what is it that God is doing in the Spirit. What's the deeper work? And if you're not used to taking notes, I want to encourage you today. This is going to be important, and I don't say this very often, but when I first came to be the pastor here, people came, and a number of people came to me and said, okay, so what are we going to do? What's God showed you? What's the plan? Are we ready to go? Where are we going to go? And I remember saying at that moment, well, I'm seeking God. But the first time that I came back and preached for the very first time, I sat in the back office with Tom Brazell. We prayed, and I heard the Lord say, the trumpet has sounded, is the year of Jubilee. I heard the Lord say, it's Jubilee, and I knew what he meant. I looked at Tom and I said, I heard the Lord say, Jubilee, God is going to bring restoration. And I heard the Lord say restoration, and as I prepared this week, I heard it again. What God is doing in this season in our church is a work of restoration. And I think there's four important points that I want to just mention. And yeah, I am going to talk a little bit about spiritual gifts today, but this just came alive in my spirit. I believe there are four things that God is at work to restore to this local body. And maybe to the body in the region, but I'm thinking, God, I felt the Lord spoke this to me for this local body. Number one, I believe that God is at work to restore joy. A restoration of joy in the spirit. Joy in relationship. God wants this to be a happy, joyful place that people come to because they're happy to be here, not because they have to be here. And I'm fully aware that there are faithful saints in this church, and you have hung on, and you have walked, and you have stayed, but you came because you had to. You felt in your spirit you had to, and it was the right thing. Now, is that a good thing? Absolutely. God loves faithfulness. But God wants you to come and be happy to be here. I remember when I got saved, I could not wait to get to church. I was like, whoa, what is God going to do this week? We were part of a church, Bible Christian Fellowship, and we'd go there, and people were getting saved every week, and people would get delivered from demons, and people were getting baptized in the Spirit, and there were words of knowledge happening. It was prophetic words. It was amazing, and you just never wanted to miss a service. And I wanted to get to every Bible study I could. I was like, God, I am so... If Sunday had come, I'd be like, I'm so happy I get to go to church. I want to feel that way right now. I want to come to church and say, God, what are you going to do today? To come and rejoice and be able to have joy, even if the week was tough, even if my life is tough. Come and have expectation that God is going to move. You know, it's exciting when we begin to believe God and believe Him to do something wonderful. God wants to restore joy. Oh, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I believe He's pouring it out. And we're going to be happy, happy to come, not that we have to come. Glory to God. I believe the second thing that God wants to restore to our body is that precious, intimate fellowship with Jesus, abiding in the vine and growing fruit. John 15. I believe that He wants to do that as we abide, to enrich your time with Him, your intimate, personal relationship with Christ, where it's not that it's morning, I need to have my devotions. It's, God, I want to spend time with you. I want to love you and worship you and pray and get into your word. A rich restoration of intimate fellowship, abiding and bearing fruit. The third point that I think, and I'm ticking these off pretty quickly, but I hope you can understand that these are bullet points, and I want you to take them, pray over them, believe God. Number three, I believe God wants to restore the power of the Spirit, the manifestation of the power of the Spirit of God, the moving of the Spirit of God, and that is why I'm spending time talking about gifts. And if you're here at the end of service and we start praying for people and you don't feel the Spirit of God, then I think we need to pray for you. The power has just been so incredibly evident as we begin to pray, and we've seen this person, that person, this person healed. God has moved. There's been prophetic words. There's been visions. There's been, it's just awesome. And I feel like we're on the edge of really seeing a powerful move of the Spirit of God, God moving in power. And I'm believing that as we look at these gifts of the Spirit, I said it last week, as we touch on them, I believe that God is going to begin to manifest them. As we look at them and as we teach on them, that God is going to begin to manifest them in the body. I'm believing it. And number four, personal and corporate restoration. That would speak of mending and healing of personal and corporate wounds, breaks, needs. This body was through a lot. And there's been a lot of broken and severed relationships. Lots and lots and lots of division and divisiveness. And God wants to bring restoration to that. God wants to bring restoration personally, not just as corporately and with the body of Christ as a whole. I believe that there's a work that God is doing. It's happening, and it's going to continue to happen in the body of Christ. There's also a personal work of restoration that God is doing, and I am very keenly aware of it happening in people. God is beginning to stir up little fires in some of you, and I know that where you, there are people here who used to have hope for this or hope for that, or used to believe God for this and that, and it kind of waned, and now I'm hearing people talking about it again. I'm hearing it starting to come alive in people again. That little thing that you had hope in and you believed in, the spark is coming back. That's because God is doing a restorative work in here. God's beginning to restore hope and the belief that yes, God is gonna move. God is gonna use me. God can do this. God can give me victory in my life. God can open doors. God can do it. And I have heard person after person after person after person in this body telling me stuff like that. Some of them aren't here today. We got a lot of people that are out and about. But God is doing a work of restoration. And in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they rebuilt the temple and then they rebuilt the walls, what happened with all of that? The captives came back. Oh, God. And as God brings corporate and personal restoration to our body, you know, the walls here were really broken down for a while. And the devil was able to come in and out and do damage with people. It's where it was for a while here. I'm not throwing stones at anybody. It's just, it was the state of things. And as God begins to repair the walls and repair the breaches, then the captives can come back and be safe. Oh, God is at work. Oh, believe it. Restoration of joy, restoration of intimate fellowship, restoration of the power of the Spirit of God, and personal and corporate inner healing and restoration. God's going to do it. Glory be to God. And then we're going to see the captives come back. Amen. Glory to God. What does that mean? Wait and find out. Oh, glory to God. We're going to see people come back. We're going to see other people come in. People who can come in and get freed from their bondage. It's going to happen. And it is happening. Glory to God. Restoration of power. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Today I want to talk about, from 1 Corinthians 13, the gifts of healings. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time. We're actually, I took a lot more time with all of that preface. Really, that was probably the main crux that I wanted to share. But gifts of healings. And if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it uses the term gifts of healings. It's plural. The word gifts is plural. The word healings is plural. Both of them are plural. And it's interesting because it's not like that for any of the other gifts of the Spirit. The word gifts is the word charismata. If they were just talking about a single gift, they would say charisma. Yeah, I'm not sure where we are there. But then the word healings is also plural. I am a tone. That is also talking in the plural. Healings, to cure, to remedy, or to heal. It is a double plural. And the whole purpose of if I could put it this way, the gift of the gifts of healing, the gift of the gifts of healing is to draw people to salvation, to confirm ministry, and to loose people from infirmity. I don't know where we are here, Adam. I guess I'm looking for Matthew 4. There we go. Matthew 4, 24 and 25. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So that manifestation of the gifts of healings drew tremendous crowds to Jesus. Acts 8, 4 through 8, Philip's ministry, you can go to the next one. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word during the persecution when Stephen was martyred and Saul went on a rampage to persecute the church in the earlier chapters. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds, with one accord, and this emphasis is mine, not in the scriptures, were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lamed were healed, so there was much rejoicing in that city. Do you see what happened when the power of God was manifested? All of a sudden, the lid came off, and people were giving their attention. That literally means they were focused in. They were hanging on every word he said because there was an incredible power of God that accompanied what he was doing. Gifts of healings have been called the dinner bell to salvation. That's kind of a funny way to put it. The dinner bell to salvation, because when people begin to get healed, all of a sudden people are like, wow, God is working. What is going on? And people begin to get saved. And people begin to have a transformed life. And that's the purpose of it. And it confirmed Philip's ministry. The signs and wonders confirmed to their heart, this is God. Luke 13. Sorry that it's tiny, but one Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman there had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was hunched over and could not stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are free from your disability." Then he placed his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and began to glorify God. But the synagogue leader was indignant that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. "There are 6 days for work," he told the crowd, "so come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath." "You hypocrite," the Lord replied, "does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it to water? Then should not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be released from her bondage on the Sabbath day. Then when Jesus said this, all his adversaries were humiliated, I guess so, and the whole crowd rejoiced at all the glorious things he was doing. The gift of healing here was manifested, why? To set someone free from oppression. Does God want to set people free from oppression? God wants to loose people from bondage. Set them. And Jesus said, this woman has suffered for 18 years. Why shouldn't she be released? And God set a gift of healing that released her from that. The term gifts of healings, as we said, it's plural, and it's repeated again in verses 28 and verses 30. And this, again, it says, do all have gifts of healings? It talks again about the gifts of healings. And the plurality of healing, I think, means that it's kind of a multifaceted gift. In my experience in the body of Christ, I have seen people who seem to be gifted in particular areas of healing. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I just, you know, if somebody comes to me, I just pray that God would heal them. But there are some people who seem to be gifted to pray for people for back injuries. And they just pray, and people with back injuries get healed. There are people that seem to have an anointing to pray for people with heart issues. Sometimes it's people with leg issues. My wife was going to share a testimony. Maybe somebody could go and... Could you go find her for just a minute? She was going to share a testimony. Pardon? Oh, Lynnae's got her. Thank you. We were at a ministry once where there was a guy, and he was praying for people for healing, but somehow God just used him for back issues. And person after person was coming up with back pain and back issues, and my wife went up for prayer in that meeting. And I wanted her to give the testimony mainly because I thought I was going to screw it up. I do tend to do that. I remember things a little more colorfully than they sometimes really were. Whoop. There it goes.
I don't exactly know the context of this, so.
We're talking about the gifts of healings, and you were in a meeting where there was one person who seemed to be particularly gifted in praying for people for
right.
back problems.
Yeah. Yeah, we went to this Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting, and I had a terrible backache. And we heard the speaking, and then he called for people who had backaches, and I was like, nah, I just didn't want to go up for prayer. I just was embarrassed, you know, and it's like, I don't know. For different reasons, sometimes you just don't go up for prayer. Well, David knew I had a backache, so he's like, come on. So I thought, well, why not? You know, like, why am I not going up for prayer? So I thought, okay, I should go. So I went, and we got this huge long line, and he just came by every person, and he held their feet out to see if their feet were, you know, he said, put your back on the back of the chair, make sure you're right up to the back of the chair, and hold out your feet. And then he would pray for people. And he came by me, and he held my feet out, and I could see that there seemed to be a difference, and nobody tugged on my foot or anything like that. And when he was praying, I actually saw it, like, change. And I was like, I don't even believe what I just saw. Isn't that terrible? I mean, it's like you ask for prayer, you see it happen, and you don't even believe it. And don't you think that's like part of the human condition? It's like we don't even believe the miracles that we see. So, anyway, after that, I didn't have a backache. Praise God. And I have never had a problem with backaches the rest of my life. So, hallelujah.
But you watched your leg grow out.
Yeah.
She saw it happen. What can God not do? And as we're sharing this, I just want to believe God that He is going to release the gifts of healings in this body in greater measure. That God's going to stir it up. I believe we've talked about the word of knowledge. I believe God's going to bring that out. The word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, the working of miracles, gifts of healings. God is going to pour it out. God is at work. God is at work right here. God is at work in you too. And I hear the Lord saying to me that He is going to use you to stir up the pot. Now, when the Lord said that to me, I thought, that sounds bad. You know, stir up the pot. No, God is going to use you to stir things up. Because you're going to see things in people. God's going to show them. I don't know how. You're either going to have a word of knowledge, or you're going to know, or you're going to hear something. You're going to see things in people. God's going to show you gifts and abilities, and you're going to see that ember in them, and you're going to go like this. You're going to go. You're going to speak into their life and speak encouragement into their life, and you're going to light little fires in people. And God has used you in that way before, but there's going to be a magnification of that. God is going to gift you to see things and be kind of like Aquila and Priscilla coming along people and encouraging and blessing and using them in a greater measure. Oh, it's coming. Isn't that cool? And people are going to get stirred up and believe that they can do things from God because the Lord spoke to you and you encouraged them. Glory to God. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you're good, Father. Thank you, Jesus. But that doesn't solve my problem, Lord. You're in a season where God is going to do something by His sovereign hand, and there's going to be a shift in your life. I speak that in Jesus' name. There is coming a shift in that life, in those lives, in the name of Jesus. I don't know what God's doing, but He's got a hand in it, and it's going to happen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Ramamataravashire. Father, we welcome Your presence, Lord. We welcome Your gifts. We welcome Your restoration, Father. We pray that You would do a mighty work in this body, Father, that You would restore joy, that You would restore intimate relationship, that You would restore Your power, and that You would restore wholeness of heart and spirit, Father, in this body, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we're asking that You would pour out of Your Spirit and Your gifts in a mighty and abundant way, Father, that people would be drawn to Jesus. God, that people would come to meet the Jesus that can touch their body and touch their heart and touch their soul and spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, God, do it. We're asking. Father, we're asking largely because You are a large God. Father, we pray that You would pour it out. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. If you're here today and you're here for prayer, well, I hope that you can come forward and believe God with us, that God can touch you and minister and bring a change in your life. Oh, glory to God. If not, God bless you. We hope that you have a blessed week. Believe God. Continue to pray and seek God and ask Him to use you to reach our area for Christ. God bless you. If you're here for prayer, please come now and we'd be happy to pray with you. Thank you, Lord.